Well, how do you feel?
Blessed.
Blessed. Amen. How you going to feel this afternoon?
Blessed.
Even tomorrow?
Even more blessed.
More blessed. Isn't that good to know? What would we do without Jesus? We wouldn't be blessed, would we? We couldn't declare it and know that tomorrow we'll be blessed. Let's pray together. Father God, we come in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can deliver your word and it won't return void. I just pray that every spirit, every soul, Lord God, will open up this morning and take this word into their hearts and plant it deep. We bind Satan from robbing it. You can't have it, Satan. Use me as your vessel, Lord Jesus, and take us where you want us to be. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Life has its own share of highs and lows that come our way. They seem to come all the time, don't they? From time to time, there are disappointments and unfair situations which we must face and eventually go through. And a mistake many of us make is that when we have these difficult events in our life, we get stuck where we are, we get discouraged, we get bitter, we get lost, and we end up quitting our pursuit of the dreams that God has given us. What's happening in your life today? Are you advancing and pursuing? Or are you standing still, all confused? This morning, let's talk about how all of us can have a flourishing destiny in Jesus Christ. A flourishing destiny in Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And it says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's read it again. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The same chapter and verse in the Message says this, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. A flourishing finish. Is that great? That's great. That's great. God never talks about defeat. Never talks about it. He talks about victory. He promises us a victorious finish. That setback, that betrayal, that pain, that illness, that loss you suffered, instead of it working against you, God has a plan to turn it around, using it to work for you.
Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. No disappointment is the final chapter for a believer.
Amen.
No disappointment is the final chapter for a believer. Do not set your roots down, folks, deciding that your life is over. Things are never going to change. No, no, no. For every one of your setbacks, God has already lined up a comeback. Amen. Amen. For every one of your setbacks, God has already lined up a comeback. For every injustice, there is vindication. For every disappointment, there is encouragement. And for every closed door, God has a new beginning.
Amen.
Amen. So what do we do when it appears that there's just no help? I want to share with you some thoughts this morning. First of all, it's important that we remember we are in a fixed battle.
Exactly.
We are in a fixed battle. 2 Corinthians 2, 1 through 4 says, 14a, excuse me, 14, the first part of verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Did you get that? Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. The same verse in the Message, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Y'all must not got that. Somebody be hooting and hollering here. Huh? God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Wow. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Where did page 4 go? There it is. When Paul wrote that verse, he was in his third missionary journey traveling to different places. He went to Troas and Philippi, but for some reason he was prevented from going to Corinth. After waiting a while in uncertainty, God opened a door for him to go to Macedonia. And what Paul is relaying to us is that when one door closes, God opens another door. And yet there are times of uncertainty in that process. So between the lines, what I read, between the lines, Paul would say, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. I used to have a big old bass that hung on the wall that would sing that song. Don't worry, be happy. Amen. Paul knew from his own experience that no matter where a believer is in life, whether open doors or closed doors, God always causes us to triumph.
Amen.
Every one of us. God always causes us to triumph. You could say that as a child of God, he's in a fixed battle. The end is fixed. The end is fixed. As a Christian, you will win.
Yes.
You will win. Now, what did God declare to his people at various times in history? Genesis 12, verse 2 says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested.
Amen.
And then a few weeks ago, I preached on this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Those are promises, folks, that we have from the Lord. Promises. Amen. There's just a few that I gave you. You may go through disappointments. At times, it may seem like you're falling way behind. You might think it's never going to work out. But remind yourself, from this point on, I'm in a fixed battle. It's fixed. I already know the outcome. I'm going to come through this not defeated, but promoted. Amen. Increased, healthier, flourishing in my future in Christ Jesus. I'm going to flourish in my future in Christ Jesus. I was meditating on the crucifixion of Jesus, recalling how in the garden he prayed and he sweat great drops of blood. After his arrest, Jesus was beaten unmercifully. He was mocked and ridiculed. Then he was nailed to the cross. His body was in pain. His spirit was in agony. Yet deep down, he understood this principle. I am in a fixed fight. My Father will never allow me to be defeated. That's why Jesus never called thousands of angels to come and help him. That's why he did not try to defend himself. That's why he said, Father, forgive them. Yes, on Friday it looked bad, not good, but Sunday was coming.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Woo! Sunday was coming. Yes. Friday the enemy was rejoicing. He was celebrating Jesus' defeat. But on Sunday morning it was a different story. Yes. Different story. Jesus came out of the grave victoriously because it was a fixed fight. Revelation 1:18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Amen. That's our Lord. That's our Lord. Amen. John 14, the last half of verse 19, because I live, you will live also. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It may feel like Friday in your life. Things may not look good. Not in your finances, your health, your job, maybe even a legal situation. When it looks like you've already lost. When you look like you're way behind. Good news is Sunday's coming.
Amen.
Sunday's coming. God's got another victory on the way, and he will always cause us to triumph. Amen. Here's another thought about these situations. Trust God at all times. Trust God at all times. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. What a promise. What a promise. Psalm 37, verse 3 through 5, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen. Some of you better start shouting around here. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. Time and time again, the Bible reminds us to trust God. Trust God. You may go through difficulties, through unfair situations, through setbacks, but remember, you're going through it. You're going through it. Amen. God will never fail you. Just because a company sends you packing, or a friend walks out, or you face a failure, does not mean it's the end. God always has a new beginning. The key is to trust him. Yes. To trust him. Yes. Think about the story of Joseph. Joseph was the youngest of 12 brothers, ended up being betrayed by them, sold into slavery. Then Joseph was imprisoned in Egypt due to the lies of an enraged woman. Yet Joseph never became bitter. Never blamed God. Never gave up on his dreams. Why? He trusted God. Even when it was hard, he trusted God. In the end, God promoted Joseph, putting him in a prestigious position in Egypt. God vindicated him. vindicated him. And the brothers that betrayed Joseph eventually traveled to Egypt to buy food and ended up bowing down to that little brother that once sold, who was once sold into slavery.
Amen.
That is a flourishing finish. That is a flourishing finish. What a triumph for a young man who simply chose to trust God. Trust God. Another young man, David, was anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king of Israel. David was the one who killed the Philistine giant on behalf of Saul's army. And he served King Saul in a palace. David did nothing but good, and Saul grew to despise David. He was jealous of David's popularity among the people. Saul ended up chasing him throughout the wilderness. David had to live on the run, fearing for his life. Now, folks, he could have thought, I'm never going to be king. I'll never make it to the throne. Saul is probably going to kill me. No, he didn't. No, David trusted God. He stayed on the high road, and one day he saw a promise come to pass. In Psalm 31:14, this is what he said, "But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God."
Yes.
You are my God. You may have circumstances right now that are far removed from what God has put in your heart. He speaks to each one of us, and those circumstances may be far away from where he told you to be. But like Joseph, when something unfair has happened, and maybe like David, when somebody's mistreating you, God says, trust me, it is not the end. I'm still working behind the scenes. I have breakthroughs coming your way. Friends, if you will stay in faith, God will never let the enemy have the last laugh. God promises he will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That may be kind of fun. It may seem darkest before the dawn, but just stay in faith. Stay in faith. Keep doing the right things even when the wrong things happen. Keep doing right things even when wrong things happen. Hebrews chapter 4, the first half of verse 3, "For we who have believed do enter that rest." You will experience that rest when you allow God to control your life. Make him the Lord of your life. Make him the Lord of your life. Here's something else to remember. Never lose your confidence. Your confidence is in the Lord.
Amen.
Trust builds confidence. When you trust someone over a period of time, then you become confident of that person. When you trust God again and again, you become confident of God. One of the first things the enemy tries to take away in your crisis is your confidence in God. That's the first thing he does. He questions your relationship with God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 through 36, this is what it says. "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourself in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." Did you hear that, folks? Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Amen. Never lose your confidence or courage. Never lose your confidence or courage. Here's the definition. A state of mind that enables you to face danger or fear because you trust in God. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Shout in here. Come on. Some of you may recall the confidence of Caleb. Caleb was one of the spies, along with Joshua, that had a good report. He loved the promised land, and he was ready to go to battle and fight to obtain the promised land, God's promise. But it didn't take long for the negativity to spread, for the fear to mount and the people to become discouraged. As a result of their mistrust and refusal to go into the promised land, God made the Israelites wander in the wilderness until every man who had a bad report had died. After 40 years of wandering, God gave them victory after victory, and within 5 years, the majority of the promised land belonged to them. Amen. Amen. But there were other areas still occupied by enemies. Now, at this point, the 12 tribes were dividing the land. And this is the second part of Caleb's life. I would love to for you to see the confidence that he has at this point. Joshua 14, verse 10 through 12. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I'm as strong this day as I was on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now it is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain for which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord says. Amen. Hallelujah, 85 years old, and he hasn't given up, folks. He knows he's going to get the victory because Lord's with him. The Lord's with him. Amen? Yes. Lord's going to give him that victory. Amen. Remember the Shunammite lady had a son that died. She didn't tell that horrible news to her husband. She said, everything's all right. Then she took a servant and a donkey. She proceeded to the prophet Elisha. When Elisha's servant saw her coming, he thought that was strange. He said, is everything okay? Her answer is, everything's all right. Everything's all right. The whole time her son's at home dead, she's telling everybody all is well. Sometimes you must, in faith, tell others all is well before everything will be well. Amen. Amen? You have to say, I'm blessed and healthy, even before you see these things, because your confidence is in the Lord. Yes. Your confidence is in the Lord, and God promises us good results. After the Shunammite woman reached Elisha, he came back to the house with her and prayed, and miraculously her son was revived. It was her faith that caused God to act, folks. When you face difficult times, do not call your situation what it is. Rather, call it the way you want it to be. By faith, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Amen? Speak faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Amen. 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 One last thought. Rise up and move forward. Rise up and move forward. It's natural for us to occasionally stumble, get stuck, and lose our focus. Even so, it takes faith to rise up and continue the course. Whatever happens in life, our attitude should be, I'll never give up. I'll never give up. I will rise again and go forward. Do not let your past or your present condition defeat you. The children of Israel had many failures. In fact, they actually performed terrible acts of rebellion in the presence of Almighty God. God gave them a land. They wanted a king. Even though the kings misled the people, God gave them a temple. They did idol worship. God gave them wealth. They misused the money. God gave them freedom. They went into bondage. Finally, when God gave them Jesus, they rejected him. The children of Israel did not deserve anything good from God. They sinned and failed. Sinned and failed. Sinned and failed. But God was gracious to them. He was gracious. He still loved them and wanted them to change so that he could give them a better future. And here's what God said to them. Isaiah 43:18, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. It was necessary for them to forget and repent of the past so that he could offer them hope. And what would happen if they repented? Well, he said that in verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hallelujah, glory to God. There's not anything he won't do, folks, for you and me. Forget the past. Don't dwell on it or worry about it. God is eager and willing to forgive the former things, reaching out now to give you a hope. And he's offering you and me an opportunity to start over again. Hallelujah. If you've failed in the past, stop worrying. If you've committed terrible sins, just repent. If your prayers seem unanswered, don't lose hope. Come to God, for he's doing something new. He's doing something new, folks. Amen. Anyone remember Samson? We usually get taught about Samson when we're kids, right? He had a supernatural beginning. God gave him incredible, unmatched physical strength. Wow. He was probably stronger than Caleb. Nothing. Folks are sleeping. Caleb had the strength of a youth when he was 85 years old. But Samson was stronger than him. It's a bad joke, I'm sorry. He was able to conquer the enemies of Israelites time and time again. He was literally a hero. Amen? A hero. But when Samson sinned, he revealed the source of his strength to this Philistine woman, and it was all over. No hair, no strength. No hair, no strength. That's why I'm getting weaker. Ultimately, Samson was captured by his enemies. But his enemies feared him so much, they gouged out his eyes, making him blind. Now, here was once a powerful man who carried God's anointing. He ended up blind, chained, working as a slave, grinding at a mill. Now, some people think Samson didn't deserve to get another chance. He blew it. He messed up. He had a supernatural gifting from God, and he made the wrong choices, and he ruined his life. Why should God do anything for him? Folks, that's not the way God thinks. God will always give you another chance. No matter how many mistakes, just repent. He is the God of a second chance. The Bible tells us that Samson's hair began to grow again, and he lifted up his voice in prayer. Judges chapter 16, verse 28. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray. Just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. After all Samson's mistakes, God was still willing to work with him and through him. One day, there were thousands of Philistines gathered in a large exhibit hall. Samson was brought in chains so he could be put on display. The crowd was cheering at such a spectacle, gawking at him, mocking him. Then Samson asked one of the servants to place his hands on the pillars of the hall so he could rest. It was at this point that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson one more time, and his strength returned. Samson pushed on those columns till they gave way, and the entire building collapsed. Now listen to this. He defeated and killed more of his enemies in his death than he did during his whole lifetime. That's a flourishing finish. Amen. A flourishing finish. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 55, 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Remember, saints, we are in a fixed battle. We are in a fixed battle. God is working to guarantee you a flourishing future. He's doing that. Arise from your defeat and discouragement. God's favor is extended to his children. Get ready. There are seasons of joy, deliverance, favor, abundance, and peace coming your way. Amen? Let me tell you again. God's favor is extended to his children. Get ready. There are seasons of joy, deliverance, favor, abundance, and peace coming your way. Amen. Amen. Come on, give them a hand. Amen. Now, to close, I want you to listen to these words in Romans chapter 4. Elwan doesn't have this. I'm just going to read it.
Thank you.
You just got choked, didn't you? This is out of the Amplified. Let us not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but be strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that he has promised, he is also able to perform. I'm going to read it again. I'll read it slow.
What's the scripture again?
It's in Romans 4, about 26 or 20-something. 20-something. Let us not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but be strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what He has promised, He is also able to perform. And He'll perform it for you. Oh, woe is me. I've got problems. My problems got problems. He's promised. He's promised to walk us through it. He's promised that we will triumph. He's promised that we will live victoriously. If we focus on Him, we keep our faith. He's promised, folks, to be with us. That's not a small thing. Not a small promise. That's Jesus going to the cross promise. He paid it all. He paid everything that we need, so that we don't have to waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but be strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what He has promised, He is also able to perform. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord.